for us since I'm coming tonight. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Joe Mantalda Show. For a little while here, we're going to be talking about God versus ET, why you can have one or the other, why can't you have both, should you be allowed to have both, what's the problem with having both, is there a problem with having both? So God versus ET. You know, I want to apologize to everyone who's been hanging out waiting on me tonight. I do apologize, but I do own a construction company, and it is summertime, guys, and it's late summer for us. So right now it's hustle, 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 hustle. We're going to be in Baton Rouge early in the morning. We're going to be on the North Shore, back in Metairie Friday. It's just a lot of stuff going on, a lot of work to get done, and a lot of jobs to get finished. So we've been working late, and a lot's been going on. But anyway, enough about all of that. Yeah, I don't want to. Extremely boring. Why do I hear ding, 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 ding? Okay, did I lose y'all for a second there? That was kind of weird. I heard ding, 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 ding. I didn't like the sound of that. But anyway, get back to what the conversation. So, first off, why can't you have God and ET? I mean, I cannot tell you how many ufologists over the years have told me you can't have God. If you believe in ET, you can't believe in God. If you believe in God, you can't believe in ET. I don't see why it actually matters. What does it matter? I mean, if you're going to use the word believe, what does it matter if you believe in God or if you believe in ET? Really? Does it actually matter at all? I mean, they're both a belief system, right? So what the hell does it matter? Now, if you're someone like myself or other people who know that there's extraterrestrials visiting the planet, then it's not a belief anymore, is it? Or if you've seen ET visit a planet, or you've seen the research or the documentation, or something that suggests that there's someone visiting Earth that's not God, then I can understand that. Now, if you're like one of these South Americans who have seen Jesus, well, see, that's different. If you've seen Jesus, then you know there's God. It's not a belief anymore, then, is it? So then you can say, well, I know God is real and I believe in ET. Or I know ET is real and I believe in God. What does it really matter? Does it? I think the universe is plenty big enough for God and ET. I don't think there's any real problems there. And I got to be honest with you. I never understood putting limitations on the omnipotent super being. I never understood that. I mean, they're all seeing, all knowing, all everything. So really, who are we, the little piddly humans, to tell God what he, she, or it can do? I imagine it can invent as many races it feels fit to do. So I never did understand that. And then I have to be totally candid here. It's a good chance what we consider to be God, the creators of this race, are actually extraterrestrials. So who are you really praying to if that's the case? It's kind of like the Gaia syndrome. You know, Mother Earth. Recently, in several different articles and in several areas, we've been getting more documentation that suggests that man himself may not actually be native to planet Earth. There's some things about our biological clocks and our optimal body temperatures and our optimal body design for gravity that just doesn't really quite suit this planet. And then, you know, recently we found that panspermia is a much more plausible theory than we thought of, thanks to us finding plankton growing on a space station in space. So that showed us that life can exist in space, which of course it wasn't supposed to do before. So that really changes the parameters of panspermia in itself, that life exists in a vacuum, unshielded and uninhibited, and not just there, but growing and expanding. On hell on what it was growing, I have no idea what was on those panels that it was eating, but apparently it felt quite comfortable up there, according to the Russian astronauts. So, you know, we've been learning a lot of new stuff. And then now we know that Mars at one time was a lot like Earth. Now they're saying that when Mars was damaged all those millions of years ago, around the same time Earth was, and Mount Olympus was spewing all that stuff into the cosmos, a lot of that was coming here and landing here on Earth. I know a lot of y'all are familiar with the supposed Martian rocks that have been found with microbes or things growing inside of them. You know, now it's looking more and more like this true. You know, I don't know how many of y'all are familiar with that Viking oxygen. Was it Viking? Which one is? I always get them confused. Not Viking. Yeah, it's Viking, right? Which one's going around space right now? It's the other one. Anyway, I get them confused. Mariner. The one that landed in 78. There was one that landed in 78, one in 79 on Mars. And they actually found oxygen. there's some type of biological reaction of some sort, whether it's decay in vegetation or plant life or some type of animal life. There's usually some type of life associated, especially with them. So, you know, now it's looking like, well, some of the building blocks may have come from Mars, some may have come from other places. You know, we may not be the native earthlings that we think we are. So when you're praying to Gaia, take that in consideration. Maybe you should be praying to the Martian Gaia instead of the Earth Gaia. She might be going, you dumbasses, you're not native from here. The reptilians are native from here. What, these stupid humans, what are we going to do with these dumb humans? They keep praying to me. I keep trying to tell them, go pray over here. But, oh, they're humans. They follow blindly without thinking or out asking a question. So at this point, she's probably like, okay. Plus, they're screwing up my planet, which I don't think she thinks that, by the way, because if the planet is truly or native to the reptilians, then hell, it's just reverting back to its natural state. I guess it depends on what point of view you want to look at it at, doesn't it? It's kind of a little strange there. No one writes to me about global warming. We're not going to start a global warming. I see two instant messages come up about global warming. No. There's so much hem and haw about global warming, I don't even like to talk about it anymore. I've read so much good, bad, and contradictory science that it just gives me a headache, is what it does. But maybe on News on the Flip Side a couple of weeks, maybe we'll tackle some of the new data that's out. There's a lot of good stuff out, a lot of bad stuff, a lot of good stuff, a lot of bad stuff. Like, you know, the Antarctic actually grew ice last year and got colder this year instead of shrinking. All of that excess temperature they seem to think that's been on the planet for the last 16 years, they're not actually sure where it went. Which, by the way, none of this means doesn't mean that it isn't happening. It's just part of what all that's going on. But anyway, so that's what I'm saying. If it was reptilian, it would just be reverting back to its natural state, you know, back to a warmer, heavier, thicker environment than it was pre. But I don't even know why, because we were talking about this a few months ago, and one of the reptilian questions is, when you ask a contactee how it feels in one of the reptilian areas on board one of their ships or so on and so forth, they don't say it feels like a swamp. That's not what they say. They usually say it's warm or coolish warm is what I usually hear, kind of warm but with still a little coolness to it. So apparently they're not, you know, and they're not reptilians in the sense that they're warm, they're cold-blooded. Obviously, they're warm-blooded or something along those lines, because the cold doesn't seem to bother them. We have reptilian abductions all over the planet, so that doesn't seem to bother them. So maybe and truly, the planet's just reverting back to an earlier state. Maybe Guy is like, oh, my babies are home now. We can evict these morons we call humans. I don't really know. It is funny, though, that there's been several articles about Martian debris being found on Earth. And by the way, before anybody calls or writes in about this, we're not talking about Martian was blown from Mars to Earth, okay? That's not what we're talking about. Remember, this was all 60, 80 million years ago. These were probably microbes of some sort. They might have been bigger. I mean, there's no really way for us to know now that we found this thing in space. So there could have been larger life forms there, but more than likely it was some type of microbes or something that was sent here, or maybe remnants of a more advanced DNA from an earlier culture. Maybe it was a planet DNA. You know, no one stops to think that maybe there was intelligent life there, and it couldn't actually bring its whole planet here, so it just reinvented itself, planted its own DNA, terraformed its own panspermia, I guess is what I'm trying to say. So, you know, I know as a species we're young, and we're not quite ready to go in these. And put it here, but who is God? I guess that's the real question we're going to be asking. Who is God? Is God ET or is God God? Or so on and so forth. So it's a damn slippery slope is what it is. You know, I don't have a problem defining between the two. I don't have a problem believing in either one of them. I have, for me, it's easy. There's no doubt to me that there's some design and some intelligence behind the universe itself. Whether the universe itself is sentient and we're just pieces of it broke off, whether it's God and it just is tied into the whole universe, whatever it may be, there seems to be some intelligent design there of some sort. So I'm not going to rule out that there's an omnipotent super being. But at the same time, I'm not going to rule out the Four of Orleans. That's actually true. Yeah. But I'm also not going to rule out that there's extraterrestrials running loose in the universe, or in our galaxy for that matter. Just so people understand this, there have been several galaxies the Milky Way has eaten. It's eaten one right now, matter of fact, the Sagittarius galaxy. So not just life forms from our galaxy, but life forms from other galaxies. Now, as far as we know, the Milky Way is the great melting pot of the local neighborhood until we catch up with Andromeda, and then I guess Andromeda will be the melting pot. But the point being is, there's probably a lot of life here. Some of it more advanced than us, some of it less advanced, some of it the same as us. This is the real problem for humans. Anything as advanced as us or less, we're not going to really get to talk to them. Unless we figure out some kind of relay stations for a faster-than-light communication, I don't know how we're going to talk to them except for over eons. Any advanced races that are probably intelligent enough to be able to talk to us or contact us probably won't want to openly because we are kind of moronic as a species. You know, that was a good question I seen a few minutes ago. Would E.T. get mad if you prayed to God? I guess it would depend on what E.T. and why you were praying for God. I guess that's what it would really be. I mean, in other words, if you're praying for God to strike the gray down, he might take a dim view of that, bud, and might feel the need to smack your ass around. If you're praying to God for something to stop, he might, you know, I'm not going to say E.T.'s going to stop at any means because they don't seem to have the healthy fear that humans have of God. Let's put it that way. And actually, that was, yeah, because, you know, and DeLynn had, or I shouldn't say DeLynn, whoever the writer of that program was, did have a good thing. And I'm sure it wasn't even him. I'm sure it came long before him. But the theory that the universe is alive and everything that's alive in it is simply the pieces of the universe broke off, made manifest so that it can figure itself out, is a damn good theory. Meaning, the fact that it means is that the universe is alive and every child that, like ourselves that are alive is just simply a piece of it that's broke off from the main part. It's made manifest so that it can go out and explore the universe, and when it's reabsorbed, the knowledge is reabsorbed back into the universe. It's a good theory. It's good as anyone out there. Whether it's true or not, shit, we're going to all find out soon enough. Too soon for most of us, I would believe. But again, and I want to say this again, you can have God and you can have E.T. I don't think Jesus or Buddha, anybody out there would have a problem with extraterrestrials. Most religions, I find, leave a loophole, I will say, in there. And you got to wonder why they left the loophole, because you know they weren't leaving a loophole for demons, let's be honest about this, right? Those loopholes weren't left for demons, things like mini mansions and cities in the skies and stuff like that. It's all through biblical, all religions. It doesn't matter what religion you're talking about here. So there seems to be a loophole deliberately or intentionally left for E.T., or maybe for an intelligent race. How's that? Well, you know, it's funny you brought that up, Matters. That would not be the first story I've heard of E.T.s in the ancient world intervening on behalf of a leader. Let's see, there was the Greek city, and then there was I want to say it was during the Crusades. I'd have to look. There's actually a picture of this, two pictures, matter of fact. One is a picture, I believe it's in the Middle East during the Crusades. It's been so long since I've seen it, it's 12, 14 years, but what it was is there was a army had laid siege to this city for, I think, 3 years, had been sieging this city. And one of the guys had been invited up to a mountain, had seen something land on a mountain a few months earlier, and had been working its way up there. And eventually he got to the mountain and he talked to whatever it is. And I think it was 3 days after that, what they described is a bluish-white disc. Well, actually, they called it a shield. They said the description they gave was kind of like a Roman shield. It said it came over the front castle gates or the front city gates, hovered there for a few moments. A brilliant beam of light came down and basically just incinerated the gate, part of the wall, and the buildings nearby. And then, of course, the soldiers just rolled in. What's interesting about it is both the victor and the loser does document how it happened. Of course, you know, the final outcomes and how it all started isn't documented, I'm sure, much differently. But in this particular segment, it is. And then there's the one, there's a Druid writing about one that intervened on behalf of them against the Romans. So here in one spot, it sounds like the Romans it's helping, and in another spot, it sounds like the Druids it's helping. Of course, we don't know if it's different ETs, but the Middle Eastern, the Indians, the Mesoamericans and the Native American Indians talk about them a lot. They seem to intervene a lot with both the Native Americans and the Mesoamericans. And then Jesus Christ came. And I don't want people to take this literally as it was Jesus' fault or it was because of Jesus. Maybe it was. I don't know. But right around the time of Christ, you started to see a fundamental shift in which ETs were being looked at it which way. And the Greys came in the scene somewhere just before that. I don't know what the hell just before that means, but before that time slot. Because you hear them talk about the reptilians and the humans a lot in the ancient world, especially in the Middle Eastern and Mesoamerican world. You hear it a lot. They talk about them a lot. One to more recent times that they actually talk about the Greys, sometime in the last 2,000 to 10,000 years, since we don't exactly know what the time frame is, since we keep finding older and older cities, we got to kind of wonder what the actual time frame of civilized man was. It's probably more like 25,000 or 30,000 years. I know the cities in India are going to put it back about 12,000 years, which I find significant because that's when all the ancient monuments point back to their prospective constellations at 12,500 BC. So we're getting more and more ties into this area. And then we move forward, which I find easier. Well, I never heard a Greys say they created Jesus. I don't have to check into that. I never heard that before. Matters, are you smoking some good stuff? You better share it with the rest of the crowd. She's going to smack my ass. I don't know, really. The whole bunch of them make me nervous. And the Greys may have done it. I would have to say if someone would have created the human, would have created Jesus, I would have said it was a human aliens because he turned the human race against the reptilians, which seemed to be the ones that gave us sentience in the first damn place, which I'm really confused about. You never know. You can't ever rule anything out, Mattis. That's a fact. I don't rule anything out when it comes to any of this stuff. You know, I put it in the big bag until I get other stuff that goes along with it, but everything's got it's got its place. But I would really think that, though, because obviously that's the time when the serpent gave Eve the apple and she became self-aware. At that moment is when the human race changed its outlook of reptilians. Remember that they were revered before that. That's the single defining moment for them, as far as we know. I mean, there may be other moments, but as far as we know, because the Mesoamericans talk good about the reptilians, the Middle Easterns talk good about the reptilians. Even the Indians and the Orientals talk good about reptilians. In most races, they're really important deities. But for some reason, around this time is when this seemed to be a fundamental shift. That's why I would think it was the humans that did it, but it could be the Greys. It could be anybody. Greys may have had a reason for it. I wouldn't rule out anything. None of us were alive back then, so it makes it... Well, we'll just leave it at none of us were alive back then. But still, it doesn't, you know... And this is something else, people, you know, because I know some people say Jesus was an alien, Jesus was an astronaut, Jesus was Jesus, Jesus was all kinds of stuff. The Jews say he was a minor prophet. Whatever Jesus was, obviously he lived. Because it doesn't matter whether you're talking about ancient world or extraterrestrial, the name is fixed. So obviously he lived. So I would give the respect due just for the fact that he did live, and probably a good chunk of the bad stuff that happened to him is probably true. So the rest of it, you know, we didn't see, so you're not going to know. You take that for what it is. If you think it's miracles or alien intervention, that's up to each individual. But it's a pretty good chance that he did live, and it's a pretty good chance he got screwed over pretty hard a couple times. So that should be enough for the respect part, if nothing else. As far as aliens go, they've been here a long time. And I know we've talked about this before, but as far as we can tell, the reptilians and humans predate any known gods on the planet. We've got cave drawings of what appears to be saucers, so or kind of stretched out looking saucers, whatever the hell you want to call them. So it does seem like they've been here longer than what we would consider in modern day religion. What does it mean? That's a good question. Doesn't mean anything. All it means is you can have both. It means, and this is what this whole conversation is about, that you can have both extraterrestrials. You can believe in extraterrestrials or God. By the way, let's not go worshiping extraterrestrials. Okay, just want to worship God, fine, but don't worship extraterrestrials. We've had this conversation. Somebody wrote to me one time and he said, well, Jesus did all these miracles. And it actually wasn't about Jesus. The conversation was about Moses and all the miracles that Moses had done, freeing the people. But it eventually ended up with Jesus. But the point of being, none of the miracles that they discussed then could not be reproduced by extraterrestrials. And for that matter, about 75 or 80% of what they considered miracles back then could be reproduced by modern science today. So, somebody said, well, he cured the lepers. I said, we hear about extraterrestrials waving their hands and running their hands over people and healing them all the time, and they're not doing it through telepathy, they're doing it through technology. So I said, or a combination of both would be probably a better accurate description. So we've heard about them doing that. We know the Greys hover all over the damn place. They don't have to. They can walk and walk. I mean, it probably makes them look like they're walking all. We've talked about the surfing aliens, all kind of stuff. We know if they wanted to, they could stand on top of the water and push a force field in the water and push all the fish on the beach if they wanted to. So we know those can be reproduced. We know they could wave their hand and cure probably any disease known on this planet. So when do they become a god? Well, can they create heaven and earth? I don't know if they can create heaven and earth. The light beings maybe, but not the Greys. But the Greys can probably create a lot. They can probably create us over and over and over and over quite easily. Probably better versions of us. So it's a slippery slope. Let's leave it at that. But you can have both. And for people who are new to this or getting involved with this, don't get caught up in the rigmarole of the good, bad, or the ugly aliens, okay? Because they're all good, they're all bad, and they're all ugly. Okay, they've all got good points, they've all got bad points, and they're all ugly as far as I'm concerned. So don't get caught up in it. Know that if you are experiencing something, know that you'll probably have good experiences, and there may be some bad ones. But know this, 99.995% of everybody we've ever talked to is put back. Yeah, I know. Kind of a thing when I said we talked to them. Get put back. We really don't get really missing cases of abductees that we don't. I'm not saying other people don't. But I'd have to take those cases with suspect. I'd have to be honest with you. Because there's no reason for them to take you until you die. There's just no reason for it. And really and truly, they don't even have to take you then. They can just copy your consciousness if they want to. So the point being is, if they really want you, they can take you anytime they want and still leave your ass here. Yeah, no, don't that suck just to think about that. But it's interesting, and I do like to keep track of it. And I do like to keep up with what people feel about, what they feel about the correlation between God and extraterrestrial. And I like to hear people who have room in their heart for both, or in their mind for both, whatever you want to call it. It is nice to see that there are people with both. There's a lot going on, though. And there's so many good theories on how we got here or why we're here or who put us here. It makes me crazy sometimes. Well, I don't doubt that any of the known deities could have been created. Any of them could have. I mean, come on, Billy Meyer says he was all six, right, or all seven. He said he was Jesus. He said he was Muhammad. He said he was Buddha. He said he was pretty much everybody. And he's a product of what, the Greys? Or Greys and humans? But he does. He says he's every one of them. You can't rule out that any known Messiah could have been an extraterrestrial. I hate to say that if you're a religious person, but you can't because if they were an alien, they were, there's no other way. There is no, even for you, you today, you could go back with your little cell phones and your little automatic pistols and your Bic lighters and your generators and all kind of stuff. And as far as anybody back there would consider, you'd be like a demigod. Not a god, not a full-blown god, because you couldn't float around and shit, but you would be like a demigod. And none of your tech, they wouldn't understand tech. They'd take a picture of them, they'd freak out. Put them on video, they'd freak out. Just pull out an M50 and see what they do. They'd be worshiping you forever. Feed the multitudes. There's so many things that you could do that they just would not be able to understand from their perspective. So they would consider you like a demigod. And then think of a race that today's race kind of thinks of a god going back then. There's no real way to look at the Greys or the reptilians as human other than gods of some sort. Demons, demigods, whatever you want to call them. There was no way to... The humans to then would not have understood that they were off-worlders and the fact that they were extraterrestrials. They were advanced alien races visiting the planet. They would have still thought they were demons from other realms or demon from the heavens or whatever. Deities from heaven. Whatever they wanted to call them, that's what they would have called them. But we're a little bit smarter today, and whoever made the fairy comment, let me tell you what. The things about the fairies and the little people and all that, I would bet you a good chunk of that is the Greys. I would bet you a bunch of European stories turn out to be the Greys, or maybe the Repis. I think a lot of the ancient Indian and Chinese dragon stories will turn out to be the reptilians. It's just... When you have limited intellect and limited understanding, you can only view things in a limited way. I mean, even today, when we look at the universe, we look at it mind-boggled. We don't understand what the hell is going on out there. We really don't know how we came to be. We don't understand how it's moving, why it exists, or what the hell is going on. We want to, but we really, truly don't. And it's not a sad thing. It just means we're young, growing, and learning. And as long as we can keep from blowing each other off the planet, which until recently I didn't think we were going to do, we should have a shot at it. We really should. I don't know about it all, but I think we should. So for my part of this, I think you can have God and ET. I don't think it's a big deal to have God or extraterrestrials. I don't think God's going to get upset with you that if you believe in extraterrestrials. Here we go. Nupedit Sibibin. So, you know, I'm going to create the universe. Boom! There goes the universe. And he or she. I hate to say he or she because it might be something totally different. But anyway, whatever it is, it's sitting there watching as the universe being created. And it's going, wow, let there be life. Because, you know, it's already got light because it's in the middle of being creation. So you know, they start creating life and life starts to take off. Okay. When was this? Remember, it's 13.5 billion years old, and some people still say it's 15 billion, whatever, plus 13 billion years old. Last I check, the best man can get is 2 million years, and that's if we go back to Cro-Magnon. Yeah, we'll go back to Neanderthal. 2 million out of 13.5 billion, and you think we're the only damn thing alive. That's when I want to say something like, you bunch of flipping morons. Really? 2 million out of 13.5 billion. And you really, truly think we're the best the universe can come up with? Well, you know, the ego of humans amazes the hell out of me sometimes. It just outright just amazes the hell out of me. Even if... I don't know how we could be the only thing out there now that we see how panspermia works and now that we see that life can live in space. Odds are there is life everywhere. I mean, even NASA and European science agencies say, there's probably going to be life 10, 15 places in our solar system. Now, we're not talking about Martian, alien, intelligent life. We're just talking about life. But still, it's going to bring the amount of life up immensely. The amount of resources and things in the universe immensely in our own galaxies. We really got to get off the ego trip and start looking at the universe for what it is, our new home, you know, our relatively new home. You know, Matt, as we bring up the reincarnation thing a lot because whether you believe in it or not, it does make me wonder if reincarnation is real, and you are being abducted by grays, does that gray abduct you in every reincarnation? Just curious. I imagine if you're a contactee and there is reincarnation, I would imagine that gray abducts you in every incarnation. Knows you intimately in ways that you could probably never even understand yourself. Boy, wouldn't you like to get in he or she or its head, huh? Damn, the things you could learn about yourself matters would just be flooring. I mean, I would imagine I could skip the next 10 lives if I could just get in my head for an hour. Because he finally got it right. Yeah. He kind of why he created girls, but I ain't going to say because I don't get no bad emails. I get myself in enough trouble, thank you very much. That's right. You can't live without women. You got that straight. Whoever sent me that, I am. That was funny. We don't know where it's going, where it's going to end up, or how it's going to end up, but as a species, we need to really get our shit together and really start thinking about getting into space, start thinking about colonizing Mars, start thinking about colonizing areas. You know, somebody's always right to me. Oh, you need to terraform this. No, guys. Don't get stupid first, okay? First thing we need to do is establish a colony on Mars and maybe a couple of little colonies out in the outer zones. Then, as the colony grows on Mars, you can start building those this carbon chewing machines. Basically, what they are is big scoopers that dump dirt into the back that are burned, and it releases carbon in the air, and it thickens the atmosphere. This isn't so you can breathe. This is so that you don't have to walk around with a pressure suit. Because right now, the pressure on Mars would require a suit. You couldn't go on Mars with your exposed skin right now. You would have to wear a suit. But the object is within 100 years, actually I said less than that, within 50 years, with just 20 carbon machines, they could bring the pressure up on Mars to a suitable pressure where humans could walk around without protective gear. But you'd still have to wear an oxygen mask and stuff like that. And I imagine UB-5000 or some shit. Well, no, maybe not. The radiation's not that high from there, but... anyway, we're going to get out of here. I just wanted to stop in and see y'all for a little while and talk to y'all and talk about this God thing. Because, you know, we do get a lot of emails and stuff about, I believe in ET. Why can't I believe in God? Well, you can. That's what we're saying tonight. Okay, you can believe in extraterrestrials and you can believe in God. It's your right as a citizen of the world and you should enforce that right. I just don't like the believe word. Okay, I just don't. For extraterrestrials especially, when you start using the believe word, you start to turn it into a religion. That's true, Matt. God is bigger than we're used to thinking. But when you start using the believe word about aliens, that's what happens. They get transformed into good deities or bad deities or godlike deities, but they're not. They're us, just way more smarter. I mean, that's... Just think of human race 10,000 years from now or 5 million years from now. Okay, I know it's hard to imagine, but you know what? My great-grandfather, my father was born in 1911. Okay, so he would be 103 now if he was alive. From his life to now is 200% different. If you took his father, who was born, I think, in 1816, think about it, guys, the difference in life between then and now. It's different. It's a lot of the same, mind you. There's a lot of the same old shit that goes on now that went on back in the Roman days. Hoeing, shitting, killing, spitting, cussing, disease. All that's still going on. But still, we are progressing. We are getting smarter. We are learning. We are becoming more civilized. It's hard. We're trying to kill less. We're trying to war less. We're trying to cure hunger and disease and starvation. At least most of us are. And it's making a difference. Slowly but effing surely it is making a difference. As long as we can keep it together. But then, you know, then we allow people like you-know-who, Mr. Poo-Poo, and he just causes trouble. I tell you what, Madge, you need to come in Saturday and post that comment in the room. And I tell you, my children are different. The good and the bad. I can't say it here because I'll get in trouble for sure. I got lots of children, lots of grandchildren. I even got great grandchildren. Shit, I might even have a great great grandchild one day if I can hang out for about 5 or 10 years. Children today are brighter, faster, smarter. They absorb knowledge at a faster rate. They multitask to them is just another sense. There's a lot of good things about children today. Boy, but in the same breath, do you know what a millennial considers a long work week? This was hilarious. I fell out of my chair when I found this out. I got a study for this week about the millennials, 35 to 16. You're going to love this stuff. Oh, God. A long work week for millennials is 22.5 hours. Yeah. I was like, really? Get the hell out of here, man. 22.5 hours. I worked that in 2 damn days. What the hell are you talking about? Oh, man, I remember the old days when I used to have to work 6, 7 days a week and shit, man. I was on salary, screwed 40 hours. They said, well, you're on salary. You got to work every day, boy. What the hell? It's crazy. You know, and it's funny you brought that up, Mattis, because all of my grandkids, including my son, from an early age, I used to make them build their own computers. You know how parts in the house from all the different computers I would build and stuff at the radio station and stuff, I would actually make them build it, or I'd buy them for like Christmas presents and make them put them together, build a computer, install the software. This was at 7, 8 years old, 9 years old. Now they're all in their 20s and stuff, so things, it's pretty much what it is, virtual Legos. Legos for the mind. I would like to get a 22-hour work. Well, you know, I got to be honest with you. I don't work as many hours as I used to. I don't physically work like I used to. I work probably about 30 hours a week physically, and probably about another 30 hours a week just all kind of crazy bullshit. And then whatever I decide to do for the radio shows for myself. So all together, it's probably about 70 hours. But some of that is for entertainment for myself, too, so in all fairness, I don't want to hate outright. I'm going to say lately I've been feeling overly tired. I need some rest. I need a long vacation. I haven't had any this year. Do you realize, Cobb, I have not drank a White Russian in like 2 years, man? Yeah, it just happens every now and then. I get on these sprees and I don't drink anything. You know what it is? Yeah, we haven't been going out. Well, I've been the designated driver at the casino, so I'm not drinking and driving in Mississippi because I ain't going to jail. And the last 4 New Year's, we've been on the road. So we got a new thing, and we really like this. We drive up to Mississippi New Year's Eve, and we'll stop and have dinner, and then we'll watch the fireworks displays along the Gulf Coast. For 30 miles, it's just nothing but fireworks going on, beautiful fireworks. And then, you know, they'll be doing some other displays, and then about 10:30, we'll turn back towards New Orleans, and we'll take the long way back over the causeway, which is one of the longest bridges. Was the longest bridge in the world. I think it's like second or third now. And we'll hit the causeway so that the last 15 miles of the bridge starts at midnight. And what we get to see from Lake Pontchartrain, which is about 30 miles across, actually it's about 60 miles across, is the entire New Orleans and metro area celebrating New Year's at midnight. It is a phenomenally stunning view. I don't even like to talk about it on air, because since I started talking about it, I noticed the first year we did it, there's only a handful of cars on the bridge. Second year, there's a few more. Man, last year, there's bumper-to-bumper traffic out there. I'm like, come on, people, get off my damn bridge. We've done it in the fog. It's just a fabulous way to spend New Year's Eve. And last year we did that, and then we drove up and spent the night up at the camp in Mississippi. It was just a great way to do the year. But it was a busy, busy year. I got to watch how I start my New Year's out, because they tend to follow through the year. And I started out busy last year. Yeah, well, we try to work Monday through Thursday. I mean, Thursday through Friday. Monday's for the guys, and Saturday and Sunday's supposed to be our days off, and Monday's supposed to be our catch-up paperwork stuff and day. It don't always work that way, but when we're busy, you got to work when you work. We're contractors. You know how it is. When you're a contractor, you work when the work is good. You play when there ain't no work, and you work when the work is good. But again, ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to get out of here. I want to thank everyone for hanging out and waiting in tonight. I know I was way late tonight, so I want to apologize for that. I got a bunch of guest lists. I got a bunch of stuff people have sent me. I just got to sit down and see who I want to have first. A couple of good authors coming on. I'm not really, you know, in the old days I wasn't a big fan of authors, but some of these books I actually like, so I'm going to have them come on and talk to you about the different books. and a couple of things got some weird stuff going on too. And the Paranormal Sisters. Oh, y'all gonna love the Paranormal Sisters. That's not until November, but you're gonna love these two. Oh my God. Oh yeah, you're gonna love these two. This is gonna be one of these shows. I'm not sure where it's gonna go, but it's gonna be interesting. Anyway, we're gonna get out of here again. I want to thank everyone for tuning in to the Joe Mentallo Show. Hope everyone has a great evening, a great morning. Hope everyone had a great holiday weekend. I'm actually more tired from the weekend than when I started the damn thing, but I hope everybody has a great, great weekend. I know, Philip, I had seen your email when we were talking during the show. I will, in the future, maybe I'll invite Jason, maybe we'll invite Madison, maybe invite a couple of the old-timers in, and we'll get into a deeper discussion about ET versus God. Tonight was just, you know, so people can understand, look, you can believe in what you want to believe in. What I'm trying to make you understand is if you're having this kind of experience and your preacher's telling you you're not, he's full of BS. And it doesn't mean you hate God and God's not with you. It just means this is another experience in your life. Look, people, everybody that believes in God knows sometimes bad shit happens to them. This is no different, okay? And if God's not going to intervene when somebody rear-ends you or your daughter gets sick or your dog or whatever, then odds are he or she is not going to intervene to help you out with extraterrestrial either. So I just want you to understand that, and I want you to understand that, yes, you can still believe and love God, and you can still know that you are having contact of some sort. And it's probably not demons or deities. How's that? Anyway, I'm going to get out of here. Y'all have a great night. I had a lot of fun tonight. I will be looking forward to next Wednesday's show. Sometime next 2 weeks, I'm going to take a little time off, not from the show, but I'm going to take a little vacation time because I got a couple things I want to get done. And I'm always dangerous when I do shows when I'm on vacation. It's always a dangerous thing. Good night, everybody. I'll see y'all next week.
Hello, this is Angela.
You're listening to UFO Undercover with your host, Joe Montaldo, right here on the Paranormal Radio Network. You're listening to UFO Undercover with your host, Joe Montaldo, right here on the Paranormal Radio Network.